Achieving energy independence on military basis, that's been a priority across the Defense Department. This week, Fort Knox, Kentucky became the first base to actually do it. Using newly constructed generators and a supply of naturally occurring gas deposits underneath the base, the fort can now operate all of its facilities while completely disconnected from the outside electric grid. R.J. Dierdeck is the energy manager at Fort Knox. He tells Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu the initial motivation for getting off the grid was a devastating 2009 ice storm that left parts of the base without electricity for up to a week.
Bottom line was, it showed us quite an important flaw we had in our utilities in terms of getting them onto the installation. We, after that point, got to design, development, brainstorming, all those things that go on to get a bunch of engineers together and a team, including neighboring utility companies, contractors, and we developed a project that was contracted in November of 2012, and since then we've built out 44 megawatts of basically decentralized power generation at our substations. What it is natural gas that we harvest out from underneath Fort Knox, put it into natural gas combustion engines, and create our own electricity to spread around our substations. We tied those substations together with a microgrid, and we also at three of the locations used that excess heat from the power generation and the burning of the natural gas to create combined heat and power circumstances where we run boilers and absorption chillers to create steam or hot water, as well as air conditioning in a specific area where it was needed.
So interesting. So was it already known that Fort Knox had these, you know, this natural gas resource available for all these years, or was that something that was discovered as you were looking for alternative energy sources after that 2009 storm?
It was going on at about the exact same time. An outside contractor brought it to our attention that quite a few drilling and gas exploration people were right outside our 109-acre border on all sides, drilling and harvesting natural gas. So it became pretty apparent to Fort Knox that you couldn't have it in all those locations and not have it here. And we were working then at that time with a contractor who we contracted to harvest it for us and pipe it into our natural gas distribution system. So those two things were going on at a similar time frame. And once we realized if we did a good job with our conservation and our conserving of the consuming of the natural gas, we could use it for electrical generation as well.
So once you factor in all those capital costs of developing that natural gas resource, how does that work out compared to what you would pay to just buy the gas from an off-base supplier? Are you saving money by doing this?
Yeah, that's a very complicated question, but the individual company that was contracted did the exploration and the harvesting for us. So the natural gas is actually our property. It's a mineral rights that's underneath Fort Knox. It gets us into the situation where we amortize that capital over a period of time using what's called a UEFC contract, and that requires you to pay it back in less than 10 years, and that 10 years is going to be up in about a year and a half. So those wells will operate and function in a year and a half under our ownership, but in the meantime, we paid for them with the energy savings of it's cheaper to get your own natural gas and not have to transport it and market it with a third party since we are our own third party. So it basically took a middleman out of it. So to answer your question completely, it's significantly cheaper for years. Natural gas has gone down to almost where we are with pricing right now. You know, in the years gone by when it was $12 an MCF, we were getting it for, you know, one-third of that. And now it's down into the $3 and $4 range. It's very similar to what we're paying, but we're going to be in a position 2 years from now where it's completely owned and operated by us.
Right, that makes sense. So just to clarify, the Army has exclusive use of this gas, right? It's not going out into the open market?
That's correct. We're not making it a competitive thing against any gas companies in the area.
Right. Do we have any idea how long this resource will last you? I mean, how much gas is there, and does it basically supply you in perpetuity?
Well, and the good situation there is we're obviously the federal government, so we're able to use other federal government agencies and entities to help us understand that. And we're looking at a minimum of 30 years. It's a shale, Devonian shale gas that's harvested from a biogenic methane, basically a little critter that eats the shale. And that shale is quite dense in this area of the country, and they estimated a minimum 30 years. If we use it at a full rate, we don't intend to use it that diligently, and we don't know exactly how fast it'll regenerate. So they estimated a minimum 30 years.
Of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about the thing that Fort Knox is most famous for to the general public. And I know the bullion depository is actually operated by a treasury and not the army. But will
that's correct.
But will this new project supply the depository as well? And it is the existence of that facility one of the reasons you guys decided you needed the off-grid capability?
I mean, I think that would have to be answered by our command group. But
sure,
you know, obviously, we all know that the gold vault is here near our installation, and yes, it is the treasury, as you mentioned. But yes, they do get power and utilities from us on a reimbursable arrangement because the treasury pays for those. But I'm sure that went into the consideration.
Right. So natural gas, of course, it gets you off the grid, but on the other hand, it's not a renewable resource per se. But I think you have done some work with renewables there at Fort Knox. Can you talk about some of the other projects you have done over the years or maybe have ongoing?
Sure. One of the biggest things to accomplish, and Undersecretary of the Army, Mrs. Hammack, the Honorable Mrs. Hammack, was here today, and she has a very good organized approach to how to do this, and the first thing you have to accomplish is conservation. So we have installed and operated, oh goodness, we're over 6 million square feet of geothermal heating and cooling, and what that does is allow us to almost eliminate the need for that natural gas to do old-fashioned boilers and steam operations. And so our energy usage was considerably cut over the last 10 years, so allowing us to get to a position where we can make a reasonable amount of electricity and be able to easily operate the entire installation. If you didn't do that conservation measure first, you wouldn't be able to determine what size and how to correctly generate power because your power consumption would be all over the place. So the 6 million square feet of geothermal heating and cooling was really a huge piece. We have also taken on, we have about 3.59 megawatts of solar production. Kentucky is not the greatest location for solar, but it was a nice complement. The geothermal heating and cooling, we are probably, between us and Oklahoma, we're in the best area of the country to potentially do that because of our soil and our variation in season. We have as much winter as we do summer. So that works out real well for us. And then some of the other renewables that we've tried, you know, wind is not a consistent thing in Kentucky unless you go to elevations that are way different than we have here at Fort Knox. You know, we've investigated quite a few other alternatives, waste energy operations and things like that. This was the easiest solution in terms of taking advantage of the natural gas that we had here.
I also remember reading at some point that you guys are basically harvesting and reusing the heat off of the big data center that Human Resources Command operates. Is that still going on?
That's very much true. And I mentioned geothermal heating and cooling, but that's a much simpler solution. When you have a power consumer like a data center, when it's that large and it generates that much heat, you have to have some sort of heat exchange. Well, that 160,000 square foot data center happens to be a component in a just about 900,000 square foot building. So when you harvest the heat that comes into the data center through basically heat exchanger from a water-to-water loop, put that back into the remaining basically 760,000 square feet, we've been able to use that data center heat to almost primarily heat the remaining portion of the building to the tune of, it's down about, from the time we opened that building up to the time we are today, we're down almost 50% from original requirements based on exactly that, harvesting the heat. And we use a geothermal pond to do the air conditioning for that particular data center. So now coupled with borrowing the heat to do the rest of the work in the rest of the building, and then using a very, very specifically designed pond to do the cooling, that building has become, actually it got rated as Energy Star in the last 2 years, and we did a big ceremony the day before the ribbon cutting ceremony just for that purpose, to put Energy Star plaques on those buildings and show everybody that we're doing exactly what we said. We'd conserve first, and then we'd generate power second.
So to go back to the natural gas project that you guys cut the ribbon on today, talk about exactly how you plan on using it in the future. I mean, is it a break glass in case of emergency kind of capability, or is it get used day in and day out?
No, that's going to be, as I mentioned, it's going to be a peak shaver for about 16 megawatts. It's going to be 8 megawatts of combined heat and power that run every day. And then the remaining is just for emergency purposes only. So on a typical fall or spring day, basically gives us 24 megawatts to play with, and it'll majority of the time take care of all of our needs. But in the case of a 100-degree August day or a 0-degree January day, we'll be able to supplement it with additional power generation or continue to purchase it from the utility hereby until we get different arrangements with them for future purchasing.
Okay. And so it sounds like this gets you, at least on the energy front, across the finish line on the Army's net zero energy goals.
That's correct.
Go ahead.
The important part to go with that is we process our own water here on the installation. So as long as you have electricity, you can run the water processing plant, and we process our own sewer system here. We have a central processing unit facility, but it also requires electricity. So now that we've powered those three, we like to say we're energy secure as well as utility secure, because we will have continuous water as well as continuous sewer along with electricity and natural gas. So that's, you know, you can define that net zero term however you want to define it. We like to look at it as energy and utility secure because of the other facilities that we can now process on the post.